Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's that new show about the policeman who solves crimes in his spare time.
Crank it, Homer.
You busted up that crack house pretty bad, McGonagall. Did you really have to break so much furniture?
You tell me, Chief. You had a pretty good view from behind your desk.
McGonagall, eases the pain.
You're off the case, McGonagall.
You're off your case, Chief.
What does that mean, exactly?
It means he gets results, you stupid Chief!
Dad, sit down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, McGonagall.
That is a good name for a detective show. Yeah. That is, yeah.
Sal's probably, he's probably listening. He probably even knew that it was Michael McCorkle Jones for Mac Jones.
Did you know that, Sal?
McCorkle.
You know, I believe when I saw that today, like I didn't know it, but I said, yeah, I think I heard that somewhere. But no, it wasn't like common knowledge in my head, no.
That's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
Sal is with us on the Western Hotline. And he is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Sal, would you respect Mac Jones more if you went by McCorkle?
Yes. McCorkle's a better name, right?
Well, isn't that why his name is Mac? Because his middle name is McCorkle. His name is Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
Like, but he should go by McCorkle, not Mac, right?
Right.
McCorkle.
McCorkle
Jones. I mean, Mac's a pretty cool name.
No, it's not.
I think Mac Jones is a good name. Like, come on, it's a good quarterback name.
Not as good as McCorkle.
I will say, if he is a bust, Patriots fans can quickly turn to Sack Jones. You know, if he just doesn't get the ball out, like that's going to come quickly if he doesn't blossom right.
Or Slack Jones.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you guys are
Hack
good.
Jones.
You guys got the thinking stuff going this morning. Hey, Mr. C, number of things to do with you today, including. You know, seems like every day we're bringing up something with roster rules, COVID rules, all this other stuff. Now, you texted something out yesterday about travel rules, so no separate team charters, apparently, or what?
So let me just clarify what's going on here. There was a memo that was distributed back on June 16th in the league to the teams. Tom Pelissero had it. And in it, it has all the different – it's a long thread about – all the different kind of protocols that go into unvaccinated versus vaccinated players and tier one and tier two employees and all these different travel restrictions, weight room restrictions, facility restrictions, everything when you're at team hotels, all that kind of stuff. In that particular thread, Pelissero wrote, only vaccinated individuals will be allowed on team charters. It does not specifically say players or not players or just employees. It just says individuals. So, naturally, me and many other people assumed that meant anybody who's not vaccinated can't be on the team charter.
Yes, I assume that as well.
Correct. So we've been, me, Jeremy, Bold, our shows here, I've been reporting, we've been talking about the fact that if you're unvaccinated at all, anybody, they can't be on the team charter. Other outlets have been as well. It's not just us. They've been reporting it. They've been writing about it. Yesterday, I got clarification from the league on this. That is not the case. It does not apply to players. All players, vaccinated or unvaccinated, will be allowed on the team charter. It only applied to Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees. Only Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees who are vaccinated are allowed on team charters, except any of those who are unvaccinated with religious or medical exemptions. So it's important to clarify here because we've been talking about it about Cole Beasley. Well, we know he's not vaccinated. He can't. He's got to fly to the games himself.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Good.
He's going to be allowed on the team charter just like everybody else will who plays for the team.
Makes more sense. It did seem odd. Like, I get the whole weight room differences, mask, no mask. All, I get like that, but I thought, that seems rather extreme. Like, if you have seven guys who aren't vaccinated out of your 50s or whatever, you guys are going on your own plane. I just thought that was kind
of
weird.
But to be honest, aren't a lot of these rules seem pretty prohibitive anyway? And, like, you wouldn't, I wouldn't be totally surprised given all the other things they've put in place to encourage, right? And
I say, just thought cost. I mean, that's now you're paying for another airplane. The teams are now, it's a big expense that you're adding.
No, I get it. I just wanted to make sure we have that clarification. Go ahead, Jerry.
As you say, it's also worth mentioning a lot of these potential rules that are being put in place could be changed because, you know, things continue to change. One of the big stories today about the Delta variant is about how things are, you know, local municipalities and all this with masks. The NFL, as it's always been with this, it's a bit of a moving target because it's kind of ever-changing and ever-evolving. So here it is July 30th. I wonder by August 30th if there isn't a different set of protocols the NFL decides to implement because things get more difficult or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I've said many times, this is going to be a moving target, I think, even, you know, until the season starts. And one of the other things is when Tom Pelissero tweeted this out, when we've talked about these issues, a lot of them are simply only covering preseason and training camp anyway. Like, there's going to be probably different protocols and things in place by the time we get to the regular season. Even that particular issue only dealt with preseason and training camp. So, you know, we'll see. But I wanted to make sure that everyone knew because I've been saying, like, anybody who's not vaccinated can't be on the team charter, but that does not apply to players. And, you know, it was nice to get clarification straight from the league about that yesterday.
The two guys signed on the offensive line, anything to bring up here? Is it just because they got two guys in COVID protocols?
I think that's the case. Harrell's been with the team. The Bills actually signed him, Markwell Harrell, out of as an undrafted free agent last year. He didn't make the squad. Then he bounced around with the Raiders. He was with the Raiders. He came back to the Bills actually last year towards the end of the year on the practice squad when they had some injuries. But, you know, he wasn't with the team this year, and now he is. Tyler, and I have to get exact pronunciation on his last name. I believe it's Gauthier. I'm not positive. Oh. It's interesting.
I went with the hockey pronunciation of Gauthier.
Right. It could be. That might be the actual pronunciation, you know, natively, but I don't know, you know, where he's from or, you know, originally. But I saw on the, he was with the Jags, and I looked it up, and it had in their guide, their media guide, was Gauthier, I think. So, you know, we'll find out. It's interesting, actually, Tyler Gauthier and Forrest Lamp, two offensive linemen, both went to the same high school down in Florida, right around where I live, and I'm friends with a couple of their coaches. So I actually spoke with one of the coaches last night who coached him, and was telling me how, like, he's a huge fisherman, and, you know, he's a guy that you know, kind of never really thought that football would be his ticket, but then realized how good he was as he got older. So it was pretty cool just kind of, you know, chatting with him about that. But I think for the Bills' concerns here, this is to me a direct response to having two offensive linemen on reserve COVID.
Yeah.
Deion Dawkins and Ike Butker, they need numbers. You know, they got to be able to practice. And those guys don't count against the roster. The two new guys do. But Dawkins and Butker do not as long as they're on the reserve COVID list.
Everybody was tweeting about this jaw-dropping throw that Josh Allen made. At least Emmanuel Sanders said his jaw dropped. Okay, what did he do?
So it was coming right at me. We were inside the field house yesterday, and the media was able to stand, you know, in the end zone to watch practice. We can't film during that portion, as you guys know. So everybody, anytime something like this happens, inevitably I get 10, 15 tweets asking, where's the video? You didn't get video? No, I can't. We're not allowed to. Nobody did, except the Bills. They did actually tweet it. I'll talk about that in a second.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah, so just imagine, remember the Gabriel Davis throw when he in against San Francisco on Monday night when he went over the linebacker, Josh did? Remember that throw that everybody's like,
it's
wow.
A thing of beauty, yep.
I would say the best way to describe this throw was it was that type of throw, but it was deeper. I'll say, I can tell you it was a post pattern because Emmanuel Sanders said it was a post pattern, so that's what he said. It was deeper, and it was through or over two defenders, if you will, instead of one, in the same kind of way. And when he threw it, when Josh threw it and Cole caught it, I will, no lie, guys, like I literally looked at two or three media members standing next to me and I said, holy cow. I don't know if the word cow came out.
Yeah,
I said, holy cow.
Probably not, yeah.
But it was, no, it was one of those. It really was. I mean, I've seen a lot of throws, been on a lot of football fields and watched a lot of quarterbacks. It was really cool from to see it from that angle. So anyway, after practice, you know, Emmanuel Sanders says, Josh made a throw on a post pattern today to Cole that I haven't seen in 12 years. That was the throw that he was talking about. And it's good to know that, like, when you're standing there and you're like, oh, my God, that's a great throw. And then a veteran NFL wide receiver basically backs it up, you know, unprovoked, that was a great throw and just kind of brings it up. Now, the Bills actually did tweet video of the throw. But I will tell you, I think if you watch it, you might go, what do you mean? What was so special about it? You had to see it from the angle I saw it from, or probably the angle that Emmanuel Sanders saw it from in real time. You know what I mean?
Right. But, you know, with Josh, like, you were tweeting out, a number of people were talking about how good Josh looked yesterday and the offense and the passing game. And Jeremy and I were making the point. But, you know, this is a great thing to be at this spot. We're at a point where you could tweet out, Josh Allen looked great, and I'll go, well, yeah, he should be. I mean, he's elevated his game to the point now. Josh going 11 for 11 in a drill at camp is not a huge story for me because I expect that. Yeah, he should. He should look really good at training camp because he is at that level as a pro quarterback right now.
Yeah, I think we've transitioned from people waiting on and riding on every tweet and update to say how good he looked to people riding and waiting on every tweet to make sure he didn't look really bad, right? Because then that's the standard now. Like, it's okay, he's there. I just don't want to read that he's taken steps back now. I don't want to read that he looked really bad. And I would say outside of Buffalo, a lot of people are anxiously waiting for that, right? They want to see, yep, see, I told you. See, he doesn't look that good. Last year was an aberration, right? I mean, like, but in Buffalo here, I think now we've reached the level of exactly what you said, Howard, which is anytime you hear that he's looked really good, it's what you expect now. He better. I mean, that's who he is now. He looked really good yesterday. The passing offense looked really good. They are dialed in. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I'm watching these guys. A couple of things struck me. Now, first of all, they don't have pads on right now, right? And there's no shoulder pads or no tackling, right? So they, you know, they're working a lot of the passing stuff, things like that. But it really struck me. I look up and I'm like, and Murph and I were talking about this. He was at practice yesterday and we were chatting. They just have so many weapons at wide receiver. Right. Every time you look up, every guy you look at, you're like, who are you going to cover? You know, they got lots of options, and he can throw to all these different players, no matter who's out on the field. Now, granted, you know, if you take off the top four or five guys, and if you will, and put on the guys that are fighting for roster spots or back end guys, it's not the same. But they just have so many guys that can rotate in or out. And the second thing I'm thinking is, here's Emmanuel Sanders. He's in the league 12 years. This is his 12th year. He's got to work to fit in here. Like, this is not, we're bringing this guy in to show the young guys how to work. This is, we're bringing this guy in, and he better get up to speed quick. I don't care he's been in the league 12 years because we're humming and we're going. And it was yesterday.
With the depth of the core, I know, like, Jeremy's been talking a little bit about Gabriel Davis and how, you know, he wowed everybody last year, and what does he do in year two? And there was, it was Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com. He did a piece on, I think it was a breakout candidate for each team. His guy for the Bills was Gabriel Davis. With Sanders here now, I mean, it's clear, all right, you got Diggs, you got Beasley. With Sanders here now, I don't know how to phrase this, Sal. I don't want to make it sound like Sanders being here is a bad thing because it could take away from Davis's targets. But how does that all work in terms of the next two guys after Diggs and Beasley?
I don't know. I think that's got to be sorted out. That's a really good question. We're all wondering that. You know, I mean, we're only 2 days into practice. Obviously, as you guys know, I can't like count reps or anything like that, but I know you're not asking me to, but it's just something that, you know, we're going to have to figure out and watch and see how it develops through the preseason. I think that, you know, it's generally considered the consensus Diggs, Beasley, Davis, Sanders are the top four. The question is, you know, how does that look after Diggs even, you know, because Sanders can play inside, even Davis can a little bit if they want. He's mostly an outside guy.
Yeah.
And then you got Isaiah McKenzie who fits in there as well. So I don't know what the answer to that is. I will say this, though. I think a lot of times we talk about this, Howard, and we have kind of a short-sighted view of it and tunnel vision. We all do. Whereas I think you have to really think about the long season here. It's not what you see week one or week two isn't going to be necessarily what you see week 14 or week 15. Injuries happen. You know, we saw this team start losing wide receivers pretty early on last year for different reasons. But then by the end of the year, even the guys playing were really banged up, right? We know Cole Beasley had a broken leg and Stephon Diggs was playing injured towards the end of the year. John Brown was hobbling. And I think you have to remember that even if we say right now, one or the other is ahead or he gets more snaps or they go into Pittsburgh and, you know, it looks this way. I think we all have to remember that the season is a marathon and every single game can look different here.
Sal with us here on the Western Hotline. He'll be at practice later this morning, 803-0550. If you have a Bills question and you'd like Sal to answer it for you. Leslie Frazier, you gave us a good heads up on this. Thank you. We'll be chatting with the media at 9:15. We'll have that live on WGR. We know he's got to figure out what's happening at a cornerback opposite Trey White. What other questions are there for the defensive coordinator? What else do you think he's thinking about other than Levi Wallace versus Dane Jackson?
It's defensive line for me. I think defensive line is super intriguing. I mean, you look at these numbers, guys. What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? I mean, you might have guys here. You're going to have guys here who can play who aren't going to make the team. Is there a trade maybe somewhere? I mean, what do you do? And part of what's baked into it is these guys can all play different spots, right? You may feel we may look and look. You know that I put the Bills roster out on my Twitter feed all the time. I just did it this morning after their moves. And if you look, I have a defensive end column, I have a defensive tackle column. But let's be honest, you know, the way they've structured this team, these guys can move inside, they can move outside. So you can look at it and go, well, they're going to keep X number of defensive ends, X number of defensive tackles. Well, what if they feel that one of the defensive ends can be a defensive tackle? And then they can kind of massage the numbers a little bit. That's the really big question on the defense is how this defensive line shakes out and who's basically left standing without a job when it's all over.
Yeah. And it gives Frazier and McDermott and all the play callers on the defensive side of the ball tremendous flexibility, right? Different looks. Make it harder for the offense. Who's going to line up where? Who's rushing? Who's right? It can give you just some more things to throw at the opposing offense that they have to prepare for.
Exactly right. And I think that was by design. They love, as we've talked about it for 4 years, but it's clear now that they really, really value position flexibility.
Yeah.
I mean, they go out and they target players who can do a lot of different things. And they can move them inside, they can move them outside, they can stand them up, they can put their hand in the dirt, whatever it is. You know, wide receivers can play inside, they can play outside, offensive linemen can play tackle, guard, center. I mean, this is look at Reggie Gilliam. You know, what is he? Is he a fullback, a tight end, an H-back, all that kind of stuff. They really value versatility in players, including their defensive backs. I think the most underrated position on this team, speaking on defense and decisions, I think they have really good linebacker depth, and the same thing's got to be asked and what's going to happen. And a lot of these guys, sure, they can play special teams, but I mean, other than Tyler Matakevich, I don't think that any are just special teams guys. I think they're guys that are fighting for spots. And people can look at the linebackers and go, well, what do they have behind Edmonds and Milano? Okay, you got AJ Klein there. My answer? Quite a bit, actually. They may not be household names. Every one of these linebackers can play. They can play. They're versatile. They can play special teams. They offer something that if Edmonds and Milano both went down, I think they could put in guys that could very well get them through games.
You know, Sal, as you talk about this and lay this all out about position flexibility, the way that it rings to me is it's almost a way to cheat the depth issue, right? You only get so many spots, and if some players can swing from guard to tackle to center or line to edge or linebacker all over the place, you kind of have 59 players on your roster. If you lose at a spot, you can just kind of slide guys in. It's a way to not cheat the system, but expose a little bit of a spot there and work to their advantage.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Jeremy. It's a great point, right? I mean, we know somebody asked me this morning, do they keep 53 or 55? And, you know, let's remember, the rules are everyone has to keep 53. It's still a 53-man roster, but you get to elevate two players to 55. But one of those situations is, alluding to what you're talking about, Jeremy, if you have eight active offensive linemen, then you can also have, you know, 48 active on game day. Well, with the Bills' philosophy, of course they're going to activate eight offensive linemen because out of those eight, they can probably play almost anywhere that you want them on the field. It's not like they're going to have, you know, just two tackles and two guards. Like, these guys can all swing from different spots. It's what makes a guy like Ryan Bates super valuable. Ryan Bates can play all five positions. If the Bills want him to, he can slide in at any spot on the offensive line. So Now you're looking at it, and like you said, Jer, I mean, now you have Ryan Bates. You don't have to necessarily keep an extra tackle because you have him, or an extra guard. You can kind of massage that the way you want.
Now I want to get to the important question. You guys are both golfers. So, Sal, I want to ask you and Jeremy about Jordan Poyer, who talked to the media yesterday, talked about golf, right, and basically said he's just started playing last year and his handicap is now under 10. Is that really impressive?
It's pretty good.
It's incredible. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. Jordan Poyer was an incredibly elite athlete. He is an incredibly elite athlete, but he was drafted in a Major League Baseball. You know, he plays in the NFL. He was, I think, like the high school player of the year, maybe in both sports, at least all state or whatever, in Oregon. It does not surprise me in the least, but absolutely. I mean, for a person that just started playing golf 2 years ago to get their handicap under 10, and let's put a little context to this story because I think it's important to note. Jordan said the reason he started playing golf, he said golf saved his life. He struggled with addiction and drinking, and that story's been chronicled. Mm-hmm. And a lot of dark days in his life over the last couple of years. And he said that he found a different outlet. He found something that could take up his time to not have to go down those roads. And golf was it. And it's amazing to hear that and for him to be so good at it right now. And I just think it's a great, great story.
You know who else did exactly that? Is Alice Cooper, the rock star.
Yeah.
He started to battle his alcoholism.
Wow.
He started playing 36 holes a day. Like exactly the same thing, Sal. Just something else to do. And he's down to like a 4 handicap and still plays every day. But when he was in the 80s, he did the exact same thing. He turned to golf.
Wow. So I hope that, you know, my wife doesn't mind I tell this story. I don't think she will. We've told it many times. My wife, she smoked for many years. She came from Germany. Since she was young, she smoked. She was a smoker and, you know, just a regular smoker every day. And about 10 years ago, we were in Las Vegas and we were coming back and she said, I got to stop smoking. I'm like, okay. And she said, this is actually maybe even longer than that now. She said, but I need something to take up my time. And I don't know, you know, what to do. She said, I think I might start running. And I had never seen her. She had never been a runner in any way, shape, or form. And I said, all right, well, you know, if you want me to run with you, I can run with you. So she downloaded an app. This is, like I said, a decade ago. She downloaded an app called Couch to 5K. And she started, you know, just jogging a little bit, then walking, then jogging a little bit, then walking. Then she signed up for a 5K. Completed it. Then she signed up for a 10K, completed it. And my wife hasn't smoked in over a decade. She's now run like 3 full marathons and 4 or 5 half marathons.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. Almost forgot. Tomorrow is open practice, right? Is that tomorrow? The first of the open practices?
It is. 10 o'clock inside the stadium, Highmark Stadium. You need a ticket. The tickets are free.
Yeah.
You still need one. You can go to buffalobills.com/training camp to do that.
All right. I was going to ask if you knew if there were still tickets available.
I don't know that for sure. I'm guessing there are. I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, people can go and maybe they could be sold out, but it just wouldn't seem like that. But at least try.
Yeah, I'm actually trying right now. So I'll see what comes. I just hit the get tickets link. So I'll see if there's anything still available.
You have to have a Ticketmaster account, too, to log into, just so everybody knows.
I do. I just don't remember what my password is.
Right. Yeah. Oops. Right. Exactly. I'm just people are probably in the same boat. So I'm just making people aware.
No idea what it is. OK, well, thank you, as always, Mr. Capaccio, and have a fabulous weekend watching the football team. And we'll get caught up with you again next week.
All right, Jeremy, good luck today.
Thank you.
Just super sad and disappointed you didn't say I have a friend named Sal who, you know, brings me out to play golf once in a while, and I'd like him to come with me. You know, I could have had some sort of mysterious fake illness today at training camp practice.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know how it is. You get an invite to play a round of golf. You can't say, well, I mean, can I bring somebody? You wait for the
–
if
totally
you'd like to
it.
Bring somebody, you can. So I just, you know, kept my mouth shut. It never came. Maybe next time. I don't know.
Maybe that's all right. Either way, good luck to you, and I'm sure we'll hear how it went.
Hey, I'm going to guess there are tickets, Sal. It got me to the point. I clicked on 2 tickets for tomorrow's practice. It said, sit tight. We're verifying your account or whatever. So it is going through. So I
assume I'm sure
it is.
And then it's tomorrow, and it's also next Saturday at 10, and then September 1st at noon.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.